World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show where truth is our bitch and where funny is very closely related. And welcome to our program. That's kind of a little thing that we start our show with. We're going to be starting our show really with the Million Muslim March.
What that Million Muslim?
That's right, the Million Muslim March, which is expected tomorrow. The headline says in a variety of blogs they only expect hundreds, and there are 3,000 bikers expected. Raj Faneen, who is a businessman from the Los Angeles area and has been on our program commenting on a variety of topics relative to business, relative to immigration, relative to the controversy surrounding Muslim Americans, is going to be on the line with us here in just a moment. A reminder that we're online at philhenryshow.com for those of you who would like a backstage pass and watch the shenanigans, as well as listening to the shenanigans, as well as just the shenanigans. You can get a backstage pass and deal with all of that. Coming up this weekend, by the way, on the Phil Henry website, Phil TV presents almost the NFL Game of the Week, and this is going to be a beautiful thing. Ted Bell will attempt play-by-play. Steve Bozell will stumble his way through analysis. It ought to be a beautiful thing, and I think later on this week, Margaret, we'll probably get the two of them on.
Well, I think it would be a good thing to promote that, yes, to get Ted Bell and Steve Bozell together on the program.
So Ted Bell with the play-by-play and Steve Bozell, and we have Raj Faneen on the line with us from Encino, California, this evening to talk about this Million Muslim March. I said marsh. I think I'm speaking Arabic there. Raj, how are you? Raj?
Yes, hello, and thank you, Phil, and I don't think you speak Arabic, do you?
No, I don't speak Arabic. How are you?
I'm good. It's very pleasant to speak with you. I've not speak to you in a long time.
No, we have not talked in a long time. Are you still at work, or...
Right now we have Venice Airport looking at the test of his Learjet, a friend of mine's. Rolled out a new Learjet. We're looking at the test flight for this.
Are you going to be flying in it?
No, it's just something we are watching happen right now, and to leave and to go home again. But it's exciting. It's a new jet engine and a passenger jet. It's a private passenger jet.
And they're demonstrating it where?
We were at Venice Airport.
Right off the 101 there?
Yes, near Havenhurst to look at this.
Well, it's anyway, I'm very happy to be talking to you, Raj, and, you know, you've seen the news reports about a Million Muslim March and the fact that there are 3,000 bikers expected. Just to give you my take on this thing, it looks to me, I don't like to see any kind of a clash of this kind. It doesn't seem to be intelligent. It seems to be born of an ignorant streak in America. Which is not to say that Americans don't have a legitimate reason to be suspicious, to be a bit wary when it comes to the topic of Islam in this country. Because while we've seen the product of Islamist violence, we have not seen what we would probably consider to be an expression from the Islamic community in this country. A real uniform expression of disdain for this kind of thing, a hatred for this kind of thing. What do you think?
I think, I don't know if you've been listening to, but that's absolutely not correct, because there has been a most vociferous, great many people speak to the violence that has been created, and I'm not for violence either, you know? But everywhere as a Muslim, I tend to try and create the peace. You know, is violence directed to me?
What do you say to an American when we see a violent action in the form of Islamist violent action against the United States or against American interests or this kind of thing? What do you say to the average American to make him feel good about Islam? And be able to sort of separate out from that the actions of extremists.
I say to use your common sense. You know, this is not how. Look, I'm a Muslim. I'm not out creating a mayhem in this country. You know, I'm here to America for one reason. I come to this country for one reason. It's a good country for me to support my family. You know, it's a good country for me to come to support my family and to support my son. My son was born here. My son is American, you know, is and we give him a name, American name. My son is Todd, you know.
Your son's name is Todd.
Yes, because we wish for him to have the benefit of American culture, to have the benefit of American identity, which is important. No, I am not for violence, you know, but they are going to send a motorcycle. You know, I have to laugh at this motorcycle, you know.
Well, the story is that an office building manager in downtown Washington is preparing for the 9/11 Million Muslim March by explaining to the tenants of the building what's expected for tomorrow. Below is information relating to Wednesday's Million Muslim March. March estimates, police concur, the best estimate of the size of the march will be somewhere in the hundreds, not thousands. There's going to be a counter-protest. Police estimate that there could be as many as 3,000 bikers trying to circle the march and drown out the sound of the speakers at the kickoff rally.
Right, and you know, and I know about the motorcycle, the America motorcycle, you know, these bad boy, what you call 1%.
You're talking about outlaw bikers?
Yeah, outlaw bikers. Look, you know, I don't want to say nothing because I don't want people to get to be angry with me, but this, no problem. You know, I'm not. It's not going to scare the Muslim. The brothers that go out there to see these bikers, no, it's not a problem.
Okay, so bikers, American motorcycle guys, I don't know whether they're outlaws that are going to be out there. I think they're going to be a bunch of people on Harleys. I doubt seriously if you're going to see any of these 1% clubs represented, you know?
Well, what the, you say a 1% club, like what?
I doubt seriously if you're going to see a big representation of the Hells Angels or the Outlaws or any people like that. I think you'll see a lot of people on Harleys that are probably in legitimate, well, I shouldn't say legitimate, but more mainstream motorcycle clubs.
So you don't say the Hells Angel, huh?
I don't see that. I don't know. I don't want to speak for them, but I just don't see that happening. I don't think that these are not clubs that look for that kind of notoriety. However, having said that, those organizations have in the past been a part of pro-American kinds of demonstrations.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know, I don't want to say I would never want my son to follow in my footsteps, you know, but if they want to, you know, there's a term that America, they use, you know, you want to throw down, I'm going to throw down, you know, you want to...
Well, you see, if you want to throw down, I'll throw down, meaning what?
I mean, what choice do I have if I try to go out to the million Muslim march and I'm going to give a speech or I want to protest against the Muslims being victimized in this violence and this motorcycle thug, motorcycle outlaw, whatever you want to say, comes up to me. I say, let's do it, you know, let's go to it. You know, what's the phrase you use? It's rock and roll, you know. I throw down, you know, I do, you know, but...
So you guys are saying, or is it just you? You'll go ahead, and you'll mix it up with these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that goes without saying. You, what do you think we're going to do? To run like a girl? We're not going to run like a girl, you know.
So you cats are ready to actually have a physical confrontation if need be.
I tell you one, this guy right here is the guy you're talking to right here is, yeah. I mean, what do you want me to say, you know?
All right, I'm just curious as to the mood, Raj, because, you know, you're a father, and you've said to me in the past that you just said on this show, as a matter of fact, you want your son to have the benefits of growing up in this country. You love this country, and it's a place that obviously you respect, and to engage in a kind of mob violence.
I'm not going to engage in a mob violence, but if I'm to protest a million Muslim march and I'm out at a million Muslim march and some big filthy bastard, you know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to say bastard, but if some dirty bastard on a motorcycle come up to me and say, hey, I don't like you, I say, hey, you know what? Step up to the plate.
Step up to the plate.
Yeah. Step up to the plate. Let's see where this leads, you know, because I'm not to back down from some dirty, fat, greasy bastard.
All right, hold the line here, Raj, because I don't want to get too crazy here. Raj Fanin on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a San Fernando Valley businessman. He is an Egyptian native, and he is on the line talking to us here about the Million Muslim March tomorrow. And he says the brothers are ready. If there's 3,000 bikers out there who are attempting to intimidate these guys, he said the brothers are ready to, quote, throw down. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And as the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on the line with me here this hour is Raj Fanin. Mr. Fanin is a local Los Angeles businessman. He's a native of Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt. He is here and has been here in the Southern California area in Los Angeles for a number of years. We've talked to him at great length on a variety of topics relative to the Middle East. What business is your family in, Mr. Fanin?
My family, Phil, is in insulation of the aircraft insulation, insulation for transport. Like for a train, for a bus, but mostly aircraft insulation, and we do insulation for this project, these space projects, private space projects.
You mean the individual, like the payload projects?
Yeah, for a space station, yes, sir.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding. And so you're at Van Nuys Airport. You're looking at this new Learjet. This is a, and just so people know, Raj is at Van Nuys watching the demonstration of a private jet, right?
Yes, this is a private jet. This was, look at that. There's a Todd. My son is with me, Todd. Yeah, you like? My son Todd is with me.
I want people to know about Todd. Todd was born in America, but he only speaks Arabic.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Did you hear me?
No, drowned out the noise of the jet?
I said, your son Todd was born in the United States, but he only speaks Arabic?
Yes, my son is 8 years old. He speaks English, but he only had to speak Arabic because of his protest, individual protest against America for this way that they treat the Muslim.
Okay, so your son at the age of 8, you give him the freedom to protest America's treatment of Muslims by only speaking Arabic?
To speak Arabic in the home and here, not in the school, you know, he must speak another petition. Yeah, see, I asked him, I said, what do you think of the Million Muslim March? What is that, Todd? Good over that, Milan. No.
What'd he say?
Well, he said, it's not good. He said, Daddy, but he said, these, motorcycle man is a dirty, you know, he is a word. Not say.
Well, that's... See, he called the motorcyclists a name, is that right?
Yeah. He basically said that the motorcycle is a bastard.
Your son is very outspoken. I know you teach him to...
Well, I mean, what he says is this, Phil, if you let me to... he said, look, the brothers are going to march tomorrow. And I don't care if there's only 200 or 100 or even if there are only 5 of them. Look, Todd, look.
Wow. What did he say? What did he say?
No, I don't. Todd, you cannot answer to understand.
What did the young man say?
He said, if he to drop napalm on America.
Drop napalm on America?
On American troop in Middle East. That's not the...
That's what you're teaching your son.
No, Mr. Hendry, no, I'm not.
That's what you're teaching your son, sir.
No, sir, I not teach my son to say these things.
But you teach your son an attitude about America that is decidedly negative, and he's talking about how that jet could drop napalm on American soldiers?
I said to Todd, get the baggage down. No? I told him to get away from me. Get away from me. Go to the car. Go to your mama. I'm sorry, Phil. You dirty little... I'm sorry, Phil.
All right, I don't know what happened there. It sounds to me like you had to punish him.
Yes, I spanked him. I spanked you, bad boy. You go to mama. You filthy-mouthed little bastard. Hold on, sir.
Hey, Raj?
Yeah.
Hold, I don't have time for this, all right?
Okay, but Alama, let me speak to my wife, please. Alama, you can get on, sir. Alama, you done, sir. You got it. Yeah.
Woo!
Like that. I like that a lot, you know.
What is going on with this child and your wife, and is everybody there to see the jet?
Yeah, is he to come to see this jet? I don't like what my son say. I believe in America, but I also want him to express what he feels. But a moment ago, he said that the jet should drop napalm on soldier. I said no. Then he called the biker a bunch of greasy, and then he used a dirty word that I can't repeat. I said, Todd, do a different word than the word you use. He said, okay, daddy. I say they are greasy, dirty, pig, and then he used another dirty word that starts with the F in English language.
All right, I understand. So the boy's got a filthy mouth on him, and I have to say, the people that teach him these words are not you and your wife necessarily, but they are words that he hears out in the world, and that he's not being discouraged from using.
Well, I don't... Mr. Hendry, not to tell you how to raise your children.
Well, I'm not asking you, I'm not telling you how to raise your kids, Raj, but my kids are not an issue here. My kids are not here. They're not on the radio. They're not saying these things. Your son is.
Yes, well, you see, you have me to come on your program. And look, Phil, I don't to argue with you, you know.
I don't want to argue with you either, Raj, but I'm saying, in order for us to have this conversation, you had your son there with you, and the boy starts talking about bikers as being pig blankers.
Well, but you see, my son says that 3,000 of these bikers will go to Washington, D.C. tomorrow to the Million Muslim March, and they're going to basically go and meet up with the bikers, and the bikers are going to take their chains, or what the bikers do is the brass knuckle or whatever that they do, you know, and beat them up, you know, like they have these fights. So the brothers are saying, you know, Allah is great. If you wish to bring the infidel, the infidel on these motorcycles, like for these riders from hell, these are the infidels from hell, then bring it, you know, because Allah will have our back. And will bring us to victory.
All right, look, nobody is talking about going out and busting heads. The bikers said...
I know what the bikers say, what they say, but you know they want to come out and bust some people up, you know? That's what I think, for them to come to bust up some people.
No. That what they're saying is, and I take them at their word and I believe them, they're going to essentially roll around you guys, or whoever is. Are you actually, you're not going to be at this thing?
No, I can't be there, but in spirit, you know, and I'm in constant touch with... Arau Handa, who is one of the organizers, Babi Asham, who is Washington, D.C., a Nation of Islam, and a great many that are going to be there.
All right, but what the bikers are not saying anything more than they're going to create a counter-demonstration, which is the sound of the motorcycle engines in a circle around the Million Muslim March and create a wall of noise that will drown out the speakers.
Well, and you think for this is what you call, for this to be a democracy? Is this what for you to call a democracy?
Say that again, I didn't understand.
I said, if they don't come to Buddy. Todd wants to apologize. Okay, good boy, everybody. He wants to apologize for saying the dirty, greasy pig, you know.
All right.
What's that, Phil?
I said, okay, I accept that apology on behalf of my audience.
About that, Todd wants to know, you're not a biker, are you, Phil?
No, I'm not a biker.
No, he says you look like a biker from the picture he has seen, and what is it? No, Bob, go to mama. Go to mama. He said...
What did he say?
He said nothing, you know.
What did he say?
He said he saw a picture in the post office that looked like you. But I said to him, look at it, different.
You know something, Raj?
Well, I can't hear you because the jet... Don't you dare to say that, Todd. You know, my son, I love my son so deeply, and I mean that, Phil, but he has a mouth on him like the filth that his grandfather was. I don't know if you know, did you know that Todd's grandfather was filth? He had a brothel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and sometimes my grandson reminds me of the filth that my father-in-law, his grandfather was filth. This, my own son, reminds me of a pimp, you know, an Egyptian
pimp. All right, hold on. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show here. News Talk and Entertainment, and knows what the heck it's talking about. Welcome back to the program, and with me is Raj Fanin. His son Todd is on the line. They are at the Van Nuys Airport there. We're discussing with these guys, actually discussing with Raj. His son, 8-year-old Todd, is out there, although Todd has been quite opinionated. And I appreciate the fact that you love your son. You encourage your son to be outspoken.
You know, Phil, we do teach our son to be polite. I apologize.
No, I understand the boy is outspoken. I just don't think the use of words like bastard and...
But you see, when we talk about the million, the Muslim march tomorrow, and I don't mean anything to say bad, but these bastards, you know, who are riding a motorcycle, going to...
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
No, I don't mean to say bad, you know.
When you say that someone's a bastard...
I understand that, Phil, but you see, my culture is not... it's not this is not a bad thing. It's like to say, hey, man, you know.
All right. Look, what I want to find out, what's happening right now is the testing of some aircraft over Van Nuys Airport. But what I want to find out from you is this expression of yours on the part, and then we're going to take some phone calls on the part of the Million Muslim March, that they will not countenance any kind of violent act, and there will be a reprisal. I certainly understand that.
Yeah, you know, you don't expect me to stand there and let some big greasy, people like that. You say I shouldn't use the word bastard, but if you speak of a motorcycle man, this guy is a motorcycle man, and this pig is going to beat me up.
So you use the word pig?
Well, why not I use the word pig? I use the word pig because there's a pig is going to go out there and... you know, in my TV, on the TV at night, I look at the Miley Cyrus, and she had her lips around the end of the knob of a sledgehammer, you know, and I've got to go to the Million Man March, or the Million Muslim March, you know.
You're not making any sense now, man, you know?
No, what I make no sense about.
What do you... Miley Cyrus did what?
I put the Miley Cyrus by TV. She put her lips on the end of the knob of a sledgehammer, you know? Honey, what can you understand, man? Well, my wife was disgusted. And
so what's that got to do with you and the Million Muslim March?
I go to Million Muslim March, and I have in my mind these bastards are going to beat me up from the motorcycle. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir, I am listening to you. There's no need.
Please listen to me. Because I've been trying to say polite in this hour. I go to the Million Muslim March. This bastard is going to beat me up. Now I look on the TV. I see this Miley Cyrus. And this this woman is sucking the end of a handle of a bat, a baseball bat. And you say, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?
What are you talking about?
What are you talking
about? What am I not saying, Phil?
Don't mock me. Answer, Mike. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the voice of Miley Cyrus.
I want to mention, are you talking about Miley Cyrus in this TV commercial?
Who's that?
Margaret Gray.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I don't know, but I saw her lipping. She lipped, or she was doing a quasi-sucker lip. She lipped the end of a bat.
All right, I understand that Miley Cyrus lipped the end of a bat. What's that got to do with the Million Muslim March and the bikers and the whole thing.
Because you asked me to be responsible, because you asked me to not react, because I have to stand there and check this greasy pig on the motorcycle go around and around and around. And meanwhile, there's Miley Cyrus. She's on the TV, I said a moment ago.
So she's lipping the end of a bat. What's that got to do with you guys?
Maybe it has everything to do with me. Maybe it's the beginning and the end of me. You don't know, do you?
No, I sure don't know, and I don't think that as long as we don't know, I don't think we need to bring it into the conversation, is all I'm saying. Margaret, do you need a drink of water?
No, I'm fine. I apologize to everyone. I just sat down. I just now listened to what is going on, and it sounds quite incredible in the car. Are you saying, Mr. Finine, that Miley Cyrus somehow is going to provoke violent action on the part of yourself and your Muslim brothers tomorrow?
I'm saying to you that if a big greasy pig of a pig, you know, and
you're talking about the bikers, big greasy pigs, okay? And you don't expect them to react to that kind of language?
Oh, come on, you know, Phil, all week long I listen to them talk about the Muslim. They're going to have the biker out there. Why would you have to have a biker out there? But anyway, if this is going to be a throwdown time, then they have to answer for the Miley Cyrus to come on. Hold on for a minute. What? My son thought, he said that even he is a little boy to look at Miley Cyrus, he's in underpants. He says he's wrong, you know. Right, he's wrong.
You guys are all over the board here, man.
What do you mean all over the board? You're all over the board.
Talking about Miley Cyrus in underpants, lipping the end of a bat. The fact that you guys are, and pardon me, I just spit right on the air.
Yeah, I saw on Phil TV a bunch of spit. Jesus. God said, can you take a paper towel to dab off the screen, you know? He's only kidding.
Yeah, he's very funny. You guys are talking about Miley Cyrus, the end of a bat, the end of an era, I don't know. Our number is 855-500-7445.
Well, if I just see the end of an era, I'd not talk about Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, you know, everybody wants to talk of her. No one cares to talk of me and the thing that I do. No one cares about to say that.
All right, enough of that, okay, with Miley Cyrus. I understand it's got nothing to do with anything. All right, our number is 855-500-7445. RC and RC and Altadena, go ahead.
Yeah, Phil, I want to just say to this guy, Mr. Finine, I'm in a military academy in Alhambra, California, and I was listening to your show, to what you're saying, and we're very much opposed to you're going to go and be in the Million Muslim March. But I don't agree with the bikers. And that's what I was going to say.
Okay, so you don't agree with biker. I don't agree with biker no more. You know?
Right, but I'm just saying we don't agree with you either. And you're marching for Islam.
I'm not much for Islam. Speaking of, I don't know. My son Todd wants to ask you how old you are.
Your son Todd said what?
He wants to know how old you are.
I'm 16.
He wants to know. Oh boy.
Did he ask me if I like guys?
Yeah, he pretty much did.
Okay, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna come down to where you are, and I'm gonna give Todd what for.
Well, you know, kid, I'm all the way over here in Encino. I die very seriously.
All right, RC. Thank you. Thank you. He's gone.
I want the record to show he threatened my son Todd. Yeah, Todd's not afraid of some punk, greasy punk kid. And wait a minute.
Are you the Finine family?
Hey, wait a minute.
All right, what's going on?
What's this kid?
Talking all kind of Arab talk. Yeah, that's so good!
Okay, Todd and this kid are off in the weeds. They're in the high weeds right now.
What?
I said my son and this RC off in the high weeds.
They're off in the high weeds?
Yeah, they're duking it out, high weeds.
I don't know what that.
The get off in the high weeds right now, so what do you want me to do?
What are you talking about, the high weeds?
Are you deaf? I said that there are...
No, I'm not deaf, sir.
Well, this RC kid and my son, get them to put the plane down, okay? It's driving me nuts. This kid is... The people...
All right, I tell you what. Can you call that RC kid?
Yeah, what do you mean?
You don't have a number on him?
Maybe.
The last I heard is he said that his son Todd and RC were off in the high weeds duking it out.
Yeah, it sounds like Todd was able to get RC away from the runway there and get him into the high weeds that surround the runway.
Okay. What about it?
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you figure that's where a kid like that will have a better chance.
A kid like a little 8-year-old?
That would be my feeling.
All right, so anyway, Raj Fanin's kid, Todd, got RC off into the high weeds because an 8-year-old would have a better shot against a 16-year-old in that environment. How do you know these things?
Phil, I'm using my common sense. Is that all right with you?
It's fine. It never occurred to me. And I don't think I've ever heard the words high weeds mentioned as often in a 3-minute period in any context ever before. In radio or television. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. We're going to get back here to a final summation on this bullcrap. Whatever's happening out there. First thing, I don't want to go back on the air if there's a free-swinging melee going on.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to find out now.
All right. Secondly, maybe we ought to just find out how well that little Todd kid, because if he gets his ass kicked, something tells me it's going to be my fault.
Well, that RC kid is a chronic on your program.
Yeah. Yeah, and so is that Todd punk. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445. Back after this, Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Welcome back, the Phil Hendry Show, RC and Todd. I want to get this very, very clear so that my entire audience understands this, so that we have no misunderstandings. Both of those young men on the line.
Hey, hold on, Phil. Todd, RC, I'd love you to come over. Come on, over, both of you. You're on scene number 12 here, Todd. How come he gets to speak Arabic?
What?
How come he gets to speak the Arab talking?
You know what? Just shut your mouth for a minute. I brought them here, Phil. Yeah, look at that, huh? Okay, what do you say to my son?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hit him, but he hit me in... I have to say, he did hit me in the ball area.
You know, too,
all right, hold on for just a second. Let me talk to that RC.
Hey, look, I feel angry.
You don't have to talk Arab talk to me. I speak English. Yes, sir?
Look, RC, watch it with the language, okay?
What language?
When you talk about this kid Todd hitting you.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. He did hit me in a testicular. All right, well, you know.
Okay, so he hit you in the testicles. I mean, the kid's 8 years old. You're 16.
He did, and he got me into high weeds, and that's always a problem. We learned that in combat training.
I have a real boy.
You know, I mean, shut up, kid. Shut up. I'm going to kick
you. No. Bad boys.
Tell your kid to shut his mouth. Tell him to shut his camel trap.
Hey, you told me to come down to get the camel trap.
Hey, tell that RC kid to just shut up for a minute.
Bill Henry says for you to shut your mouth.
All right, what's the story here? What happened?
First of all, I'm on the radio with you. Oh, my God, I'm out of breath. I'm watching the plane go over. Then, all of a sudden, I see this punk kid, this dirty, greasy little punk. He pull up in a truck. He's with this big ape over here, this guy, Watson guy.
Okay, so he had Watson with him, huh?
Yeah, he's got this guy. This guy, Watson, basically starts to stare me down, you know, and RC... He goes at it with Todd. The two of them get into a wild scrape. RC pick up Todd and threw him against the grill of the truck. But then Todd, he grabbed RC, flipped him into the windshield, and that's when Todd took off for the weed.
Yeah, can I say something? That I thought wasn't fair, Mr. Henry. I rammed his head into the grill, and then he flipped me into the windshield and went for the weeds.
Well, what do you mean, went for the weeds? What was he doing?
I'm telling you, the kid went for the high weeds.
Okay, so he went for the high weeds. So in other words, he did something that puts you at a disadvantage?
Well, yeah, what are you yelling at me for?
You guys keep telling me about him going for the high weeds. Where are these high weeds, anyway?
What are you yelling about?
Yeah,
the kid's saying, why are you a maniac and acting like a turd?
Since when do you speak Arab? Let me talk to Raj.
Yes, sir.
What is he talking about? What is this high weed thing? I mean, there's high weeds around the runway.
Yeah, there's high weed off the runway here. And Todd went for it. Todd, used the only way out of the fight. He went in for the high weed for the camouflage. And he was able to lay low. And as soon as R.C. Collins was this boy that you seem to know, you know this boy, R.C. Collins?
Yeah, I know him.
Okay. He goes walking the weed and Todd ambushed him in the weed. He waylaid him and was able to ambush him and then made for the SUV where his mama is.
So what did he do to R.C.?
I basically flipped him and did a stomp to the groin, to a double stomp to the groin, and then took off for the SUV where his mama is.
Yeah, he's going for your mom. Yeah, well, you hit me in my...
All right, enough of the hole he hits you in the... The kid is half your size, half your age. He used the weeds to his... I don't give a damn if he went to the high weeds or not. What are you doing driving all the way out there? You know you could get arrested for that. There's stalking. There's assault.
What are you talking about, stalking?
Well, you're on the radio and suddenly you go find this guy.
The guy is telling everybody he's at the Van Nuys Airport.
Yeah, but those mean that I want you to come out here and go into the high weeds with my boy. God.
Well, you're making it sound like it's some kind of a gay pickup.
Well, you're like, hey, let's go to the weeds.
No, he didn't. You just told me they had a fight.
I know, but I did I invite this guy down here or no?
You're right about that. You're absolutely right. All right, R.C., I don't know what I can do about this. What I would ask you to do is to hang around there because there may be some cops that want to ask you some questions.
Yeah, and I hope they ask questions of this piece of turd Arab kid because he stomped my testicles, you know.
What a dumbass, you know, you're
talking about
testicles.
Okay. Raj, I do appreciate you being on with us. I certainly do hope that tomorrow at the Million Muslim March, things do not devolve into a Neanderthal display of stupidity. In our country, we have the right to voice our opinions with a permit. The Million Muslim March has a permit, although they may not get a million Muslims. The motorcyclists do not.
I want you to point out the people on the 3,000 bankers that don't have a counter-protest permit.
Okay, that's fine. And I would say to anybody that is going to be on a motorcycle tomorrow at this Million Muslim March, if you guys are out there without a permit and you're causing problems for the police, that is in terms of traffic control, in terms of allowing the people with a permit to march, then you're not doing anybody any good, and you know, you're kind of acting stupid. To the extent that there's any violence planned, I doubt it, sincerely.
Well, I just so you know, I'm going to throw down. Yeah, Todd said so too.
Yeah, you guys throw down. You're going to throw up.
Ow!
Todd got him in the testicle.
Get out of here, testicle.
What's going on over there? Is that at the airport?
It's at Van Nuys Airport.
They're testing on a jet.
Some new jet that Raj's company has done the insulation for. God, is it hot in here, bud? What's going on, man?
You're the guy don't get no air.
I'm not getting any air conditioning, but I ask you, before the show starts, to get some windows open in here and to get some air flowing through this sucker, man. It gets bloody hot in this mother. And what's with all these lights?
Phil, you need all the lights for the video cast of the Phil TV. Now, those are TV lights, and believe me, I'm used to those. Those are the Klieg light. The Klieg light. And what are you doing?
I can't, you know.
You can't what?
I can't, you know, I understand. I'm sorry, it's not very interesting. I understand what they are, and they're about 85 billion degrees, and they're driving me ape. All right, anyway, thank you very much. I'm telling you guys, it's a hot son of a bitch. Was it hot in the valley today? We're out at the beach here at the El Pacifico. and where I generally will take my cue in terms of temperature. In other words, where I get a general idea as to what the weather has been like here in the Los Angeles area is the Valley, because the Valley is probably on any given day, that'd be the hottest spot other than downtown, the hottest spot in Los Angeles. Was it a hot day today?
I didn't notice it. But I'm in Santa Monica.
You're in Santa Monica. Robert, where do you live?
I'm down Southgate.
Southgate. Was it hot?
I wasn't there. I was here.
And where do you live, bud?
Oh, where do I live? Well, I live here.
So everybody lives at the beach. So nobody knows what the temperature was.
I was at Santa Monica, yes.
Well, I'm telling you, it is a bitch, man. And this is late September. All summer long, it was cloudy as hell. There was not a bloody speck of sunlight anywhere. And then all of a sudden, at the end of August and early September, the sun comes out, and it's as hot as Hades. All right. Enough of that, sports fans. We're going to come back next hour. We've got more to report on. From beneath the Arctic ice is an Antarctic lake. We got Dr. Ron Tarner to talk science with us when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Watch our live streaming video cast. Watch our live streaming everything. We stream everything, man. They're at Phil Hendry Show.
Well, it sounds as if someone's going to the bathroom.
I'm sorry. I should just watch the streaming video, nothing else. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Confusion. Oh, I just sort of messed up there. Anyway, welcome back. It is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And every night we are here at your radio dial. If you'd like to know where we do broadcast out of on any given night in any given city, go to our website. Go to affiliates, A-P-H-I-L-I-A-T-E-S. We misspell it. So for those of you who are in a spelling bee at some future point, please, there's two Fs, but we've purposefully destroyed the spelling of that word so you know. It is your affiliate, and you can look on our affiliate list and find out state by state, town by town, whether or not we exist anywhere in that geographic area. If we do not, if you are not able to find us there, there's a lot of stations that stream us live, and if you can't find that, you can certainly come to our website, philhendryshow.com, and if for no other way of accessing us, you can watch our live streaming video cast. Contained therein is audio. So people say, where can I hear you stream, Phil? On our website. Yeah, but that's video. Right. Well, you don't have to watch it. You can listen to it.
Yes, but I heard a man say, what did he say, bud?
Yeah, he said it's using up all the memory and everything.
Oh, well, now, ain't that too bad. It's using up the what?
Use up the memory. It's like it takes more power on a video cast.
It takes more power on a video. I guess it does. Speaking of that, by the way, our video cast fully mobile. So if you want to take us with you live and live and local, baby, at least to your phone, you can do that too. Like right now, wherever you are, just pick up the phone, you log in, you watch the video cast. Okay, because all over town, wherever you're going, we are a fully mobile operational thang, man. We have a mobile site too. So to the extent that we have dragged you kicking and screaming into the 21st century, more to the case, you've dragged us kicking and screaming into the 21st century. We're very, very grateful to be able to have done that. All right. World famous. Let's see. What is our number here? Oh, yeah. It's 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. So I was talking here with the guys as we were getting ready to go back from our break about the fact that over the last few days, I have, because of my birthday, my birthday, it seems, has not ended yet, and I don't know when it will, but I've got people baking me cakes left and right. I got people who are, you know, still wanting to celebrate with me, and I have put on weight to the tune of 235 pounds now.
Well, that is a lot more than you want to be at.
You said you didn't want to be over 230.
That's right, I did, and I have gone well over 230. So I'm going to have to start to take that weight off, and to the extent that I can do that, we're bringing on Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler is, among other things, he competes in bodybuilding. He has competed in some weight training competition, body sculpting competition. He lives in the San Diego area and has a medical practice there. We welcome him on the program to maybe give me some tips on Dr. Sadler on how to get into shape. How are you this evening?
Very well, Phil, and a good evening to your audience.
Dr. Sadler, you you're not necessarily in the physiology or physical medicine or physical training aspect of medicine. You're not a sports medicine doctor, correct?
No, Phil. My specialty is simply internal medicine. But I did get into bodybuilding just as a way of body sculpting. I was blessed with a good body. I was born with, you know, more than my fair share, probably, of good solid muscle mass. But I wanted to tone up, and I have. You know, it's just something that comes naturally to my side of the family. When I say my side of the family, I'm married to a woman, God bless, I knock wood. She's a good 30 years younger than me. The reason why I say all these things is for the guys that are listening right now, if your life is not going the way that it, you know, that you want it to go, you really should take a tip from me, Dr. Jim Sadler, and others like me, and get into shape, get ripped, get built, and see your life change.
Now, I don't have to get into any kind of steroids.
No. Not at all, Phil.
And what about protein?
Well, you want to get a good protein powder. You want to get a good protein powder. I think that there are a number of good protein powders on the market. I know that, and there are whey proteins, W-H-E-Y proteins, that are very, very good for you. I personally do believe in the diet that you've been on, Phil, which is a low-cal diet, but you want to make sure that you have your good balance between your protein and your carbohydrate, so that... You know, so that you do balance it out. You know,
we're talking to Dr. Jim Sadler here about weight training. I don't know that I want to weight train, but I want to tone and continue to burn the calories. I was down to 211.
Well, I know you dropped all the way down from 290, Phil. So you did a really good job. You know.
Thank you very much.
And you're to be commended. You have gone up a few pounds. It's going to happen. But the way you control it and the way that you're going to get it back down again is what we want to do is we want to limit the calorie. You want to do a little bit calorie burning. That's what I want to say.
By that, you mean exercising?
Yeah, do some cardiovascular aerobic-type exercising. I love, personally, to do what I call aerobic yoga. Aerobic yoga is where we stretch to the real endurance. I'll give you an example. You can't see this, but I wish I had some Phil TV in my house. I got my wife, Tiffany, here. Honey, I want you to count it down. I'm going to do some aerobic yoga, and I'm going to literally be bent all the way over. And I'm going to extend myself, Phil, all the way so that my nose, literally, it's kind of funny, my nose is going to come all the way up and touch my backside.
You're going to bend all the way over that way?
That's right.
Doctor, this is Margaret. So I want to be clear. Are you standing up?
Yeah, I'm standing. Maybe just crouched slightly at the knee, but I'm going to bend all the way over so that my nose touches my backside. You know, Phil, I always make a joke about when somebody says, whose butt are you kissing today? I said, well, I'm kissing my own butt today. And we even thought about...
That's pretty good. I'm kissing my own butt today.
Yeah, we even thought about have a T-shirt. Dr. Jim Sadler says if you're going to kiss any butt...
Kiss your own butt, huh?
That's right. Kiss your own butt today. But I don't know about it. But this is an aerobic exercise. So, Tiffany, go ahead and count up. Now, I'm going to do this very quickly, Phil. So every time I do it one, I'm literally, my nose is touching my backside. All right? But this is wonderful for extension of the spine, wonderful for extension of the neck, wonderful for full extension. Here we go. Begin and one, two, three.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, Doc.
Yeah, what?
Well, that sounds like it hurts you.
No, it's not hurting me, no.
Well, you're going, it sounds like there's a strain.
Well, I'm bending all the way over and getting my nose right up in there. You know, not up in there, but you know what I'm saying.
Well, I'm sorry. I forgive me for interrupting you then, but it sounded like you were in pain.
Well, there's a little bit of extension, but that's to be expected. So let me continue, okay?
All right.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dr. Sadler. It just sounded very painful.
No, I'm all right. All right, let's start again, Tiffany. Restart the clock. Restart the clock, honey. Put the drink down. Okay, here we go. One and... One. Two. Ow, three. Yeah! Four.
Wait a minute.
What's about it?
It sounds painful.
How many times I got to tell you? It's not painful.
All right, I have to break. I'm sorry.
Well, you're interrupting when you interrupt, Phil. You're interrupting the stretching of the vertebrae, of all of the blood vessels. Would you put the drink down, please, honey? Thank you. Of all of the blood vessels, and put down a cigarette, and put down everything. Just put the stuff down and do the clock, okay? And all the blood vessels, Phil.
All right, hold on for a minute. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us here from San Diego. He's teaching me what is called, what did he call this?
It's called aerobic yoga.
Aerobic yoga, where he's doing a kind of a stretching. It sounds to me like a rather strenuous stretching. And in the process, teaching me some form of physical discipline that's going to help me in my continuing efforts at losing weight. We had a, like I said, we were celebrating my birthday and celebrating it quite a lot. And I fear I've put on more weight than I should have. So this is my effort at getting back into shape. I always like to encourage my audience. You know, guys, I went from 290 pounds down to 211. I'm still well below that weight. And I encourage all of you to,
hurry it up. We got to take a break.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Jesus.
You're babbling on.
Welcome back, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us from San Diego as we continue discussing here, well, physical fitness, I guess, and my own need to get into shape. Dr. Sadler, you made a good point there. I did lose quite a bit of weight. I lost 80 pounds from the spring of 2012 to Halloween of 2012. And then from Halloween of last year to now, I've gone up 25 pounds. Is that kind of something you see a lot of?
Well, you know, so we do. I think people, it's quite an achievement to lose that kind of weight. And then what people do is they naturally return to some of those habits they want to enjoy. And especially with you reached your target weight at Halloween time, and by that Halloween time, well, that's when all of the candy. And you also want to have, like, a Thanksgiving turkey. Don't you love to have the turkey, Phil?
Yeah, it's turkey and...
And the cranberry sauce.
And the cran, yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so that's very... And then what's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Not Halloween, but after Thanksgiving comes... what comes... Isn't it Halloween?
No, Christmas.
Christmas comes after Halloween. And then... it's Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
It's Halloween, Thanksgiving.
And then Christmas. And yeah, you want to... hold on for just a minute. Is this Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I'm sorry, Phil. Did you know that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is back on?
No, I didn't. And I can't say that I care.
Okay. I just thought I'd...
And we want to continue with what we're doing here.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So Phil, it's not unusual for people to want to lose weight, but then they put the weight back on, which is what I've seen. Now, I want to get back to this exercise. This is called an aerobic yoga, what I'm attempting to do. And Phil, no matter how bad it sounds, I want you to just disregard that. And I want you to concentrate on the exercise itself. What we're doing is we're standing with our legs, shoulder. Can you get up and do this, Phil?
All right, I'm going to forgive the audience. I'm getting up now because I've got a remote microphone on. Sorry, I got a remote microphone on.
All right, and you're standing up?
I'm standing up, yes.
All right. Now, I want you to spread your legs, shoulder, get your legs good and wide, spread them wide, really open it up and spread it out, just spread it,
Well, how wide do you want my feet?
I just want to just spread them out, you know, get it spread.
How wide, Dr. Sadler?
All right, shoulder length, God.
Well, I don't know. When you say just spread it,
well,
do you want me to do splits?
No, I don't want you to do no splits.
Well, then how wide do you want me to spread my legs?
Shoulder length.
Okay. I mean, that's a lot different from spread it out, you know.
Look, I understand. All right, so the legs are spread. Now, what I want you to do, don't yell at me, Phil. It makes me look like a chump to the audience, like I'm your guest, you know.
I understand.
Well, you're yelling at me. The audience thinks I'm some punk, you know.
I apologize.
Jesus.
I apologize.
All right.
So what next?
What do you mean?
What exercise are we doing?
Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I was looking. All right, hold on for a minute. Would you put the drink down and the cigarette? How many times have I got to tell you that? I'll take you to the Burger King. All right.
Who was that? Is it your wife?
Yeah, it's Tiffany. All right. Your legs are spread out. Here we go now. We're going to start, and we're going to... What are you laughing at? Yeah, let me tell you something, baby. Shh, forget it. She's laughing at me now. All right. She loves to laugh at me. Only, you want to know why she laughs at me? On account of I bring the lumber, and she, it's all messed up about it, so she has to laugh at me, otherwise she'll just be deeply in love. You know, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, sure.
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what, man? Don't drag me into the psychodrama of your marriage, if you don't mind.
I mean psychodrama? What's that supposed to mean?
Dude, I don't want to know about why your wife is laughing at you because you bring the lumber. That's great, you know.
Well, look, don't go sing-songy on me. Yeah, I don't know.
What are you in a freaking mood for?
You're in the mood. You're yelling at me.
You're telling me to spread it, spread it, spread it. I'm listening to this exercise you're doing where you sound like you're on the rack. You know, I'm just trying to follow along here. What, am I supposed to not react?
I'd like you to do what you're told. I'm the doctor.
Okay, fine. In the meantime, I'm listening to you jaw-jacking at your wife.
What's between me and my wife is between me and my wife. I don't see where it's no concern of yours.
Well, you've got Phil commenting on things about you and Amber.
My wife's name is Tiffany, God.
Okay, it's Tiffany.
I'm sorry, Tiffany.
You there?
Yeah.
What's up with you?
What's up with you?
Okay, thanks a lot, Doc.
Please don't hang up.
You said, please don't hang up. Yeah, I heard him. I heard him say, please don't hang up, and I hung up anyway. How about that? How about that, bud? I hung up anyway. Oh, my God. The guest asked me not to hang up, and I hung up anyway.
What are you all upset about, Mr. Henry?
What am I upset about? I'm upset about the ongoing psychosis of this radio show. I'm upset about how whack everything gets. I'm upset about how super personal things get. I'm upset about how a simple interview about aerobic yoga, which sounded interesting to me, turns into a recrimination over a guy's relationship with his wife, over whether or not I'm saying things respectfully, you know. This is the thing that is upsetting to me. This is a radio show. This is not a... I'm not in the family room at someone's house trying to negotiate peace between squabbling brothers and sisters. Let's just do a radio show. You understand? It's 8 million degrees in here. I feel like I'm in a freaking Turkish bath. I got nutcases on the phone, nutcases to the left of me, nutcases to the right of me, nutcases all around, okay?
You're nuts.
Oh, aren't you funny? Now get that jackass back on the phone. If I get one bit of lip from him, I'm hanging up for good. One teeny bit of lip.
All right.
And Bud, by the way, I don't need to hear you screening the call while I'm on the air. You got it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, just, oh, I better not.
Dr. Sadler?
Hi, Phil.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that I was stressing you out. I'm sorry. Tiffany was pissing me, excuse my language, she was irritating me, she was smoking a cigarette and eating Moose Track ice cream. I says to her, you know, I'm trying to do my aerobic yoga. I'm sure you understand, Phil, you know? And
she was eating ice cream, huh?
Yeah, well, what do they call it, Moose Track? It looks like Moose Dump to me, and they call it Moose Track, you know?
Yeah, that's on account of you have a milk that it looks like a Moose Dump.
Yeah. That looks like a moose. I don't know what this chalk. What is this?
It's an ice cream called Moose Tracks, but they have little milk duds that looks like a moose squatted in your. I don't know.
Well, that sounds delicious.
Well, yeah, believe me, I totally hate it. It is delicious, and I've eaten it. And she says to me, how come you eat it if it makes you disgusted? And I said, it's disgusting to think that a moose took a dump in the ice cream. And she says to me, it's not a real dump. I go, I know it's not a real dump. I know that. But I said...
Never mind, man. I don't need to know the history of your relationship with Moose Track Ice Cream. Jeez.
Wow. Get that guy a Xanax.
Are you all right? Because now I think Dr. Sadler has a point.
I'm fine. I can't believe the stuff we talk about.
Phil, look, you got to get a grip.
I'm getting a grip. Don't worry about it.
Just like the doctor says, you got to get a grip.
Yeah, I better get a grip.
Okay, those two a-holes that just said that.
Take it easy.
No, that's dirty pool. I'm on here trying to do the aerobics, you know.
Just take it. Doc, you got a funny way of talking. You know that as well as I do. Just take it easy. I want to get in at least one exercise here of the aerobic yoga, and then we'll get back to the whatever the hell it is we're doing. I don't know what it is we're doing.
Ain't you going to take no phone calls?
Yeah, we'll take some phone calls. That's it.
All right. Tiffany, just in the name of everything holy, put the moose dump down and just get this. Thank you. All right, Phil, here we go. This is called aerobic yoga. We're going to do that. We're doing the neck stretch. Again, you get the nose right up tight to the bum. And it's kind of a funny exercise. Everybody laugh about it, but it's very good for you. And begin. Ow, ow, ow. One. Two. God, it hurts. Three. Four.
I can't stand it.
What are you doing? He's doing it at number five.
Well, isn't that nice? He's going to know. I can't stand listening to it.
What am I supposed to say to him when he finds out he done got cut off?
What are you supposed to say to him when he finds out he done got cut off? Tell him that he done got cut off because we had to go to a break, okay? That way he won't think we cut him off because it sounded like somebody was taking his fingernails out one by one with pliers. Wow.
It did sound interesting. I thought it sounded very interesting.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it sounds real good. It's great if you enjoy listening to some guy in the dungeon of a South American prison. It's fantastic. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. That number again. All right, coming up this weekend, we've got Steve Bozell and Ted Bell doing play-by-play almost the NFL game of the week, the Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show, and Dr. Jim Sadler with us here. I'm also with Margaret Gray, Bud Dickman, and Robert Leonard as we continue talking about physical fitness. Of course, it's an extremely important, very, very important topic. It just never, ever, ever will not be an important topic, I think, for the rest of the history of humankind. We finally have sort of come around to the idea that we have to take care of ourselves physically if we hope to have a good life, and it certainly is the case with Phil Henry. I was hospitalized 4 years ago. Four years ago this coming Christmas with pneumonia, and it was on. It was during that time that I quit smoking, but it was also following that particular time that I put on some 40 pounds as the result of quitting smoking. But don't do the, you know, speed it up thing, okay?
Well, I'm just saying.
You're giving me that speed up thing. What do you want me to speed up for?
Go get to Dr. Sadler.
I'm sorry, Phil. I told Bud to give you the speed up because I gotta, you know, we gotta get to it.
I'm talking about me and what led me to the point here of talking to you.
Okay, fine. Jesus.
Never mind.
Well, don't be a baby, Phil.
Oh, yeah, don't be a baby. I mean, if you have...
I'm not being a baby. I was talking about why I quit smoking and why I got into physical fitness, and you got Bud giving me the hurry it up sign.
Because I wanted to get to the aerobic yoga.
Let me tell you about aerobic yoga, as long as we're on the topic.
Well, wait, I only got the five.
Yeah, you got the five. It sounds to me like you're having your eyeballs put out with a knitting needle.
So funny about that, Mr. Henry.
It just is.
So you think it's funny to hear a man get his eyeballs taken out, huh?
When I'm listening to you going through your aerobic yoga, yes.
Well, it does sound, Dr. Sadler, as if you're in extreme discomfort.
The only discomfort I'm in... is knowing that I want to get the 10 before you got to the commercial break. That's all.
Well, why do you got to get the 10?
To show people how well it stretches out. Never mind.
To show people how well it stretches.
No one likes being laughed at.
Well, I'm laughing at you, okay? So I think you're going to have to live with that one, Doc. Because a lot of the stuff you say is real weird, Jack. It's real weird. Let me go to David G. Hall, who is listening in from South Pasadena this evening he's on our program director line. David?
Yeah, I want to talk to you, Phil, about... your name is Dr. Sadler, yes, sir?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, yes, sir. Well, how can I help you?
I'm David G. Hall. I'm the vice president of syndication.
All right.
I wanted to talk to Phil. If you could put Dr. Sadler on hold, Phil. Would you mind doing that?
Well, why are you going to put me on hold? I never did know.
Okay, I got him on hold, David. What's the story?
The story is you got a guy on here, and forgive me for saying this, you got a guy on here that sounds like some sort of a super dork. He's all, yeah.
I understand he has a little bit of a speech impediment.
No, this guy doesn't have he's talking about... He sounds like he's a little bait. He sounds like he's sucking on something. I don't know what his story is. He sounds... I'm going to tell you, I've gotten complaints here in the last half hour because we got them... You know, I got the complaint line routed into my home. I've got it routed into my car. I've got it routed into my home. And God help me, I've got it routed to that Krispy Kreme down here because of Daphne. Okay? God help me.
You're the guy that's going out with her, man. Anybody forcing you to go out with her?
No.
Then what's... You know...
All right, but I'm just saying, I got the complaint line routed into all three places because I got people calling in and saying, what is this guy sucking on? And I said, and I'm just asking you officially, he doesn't have anything in his mouth, does he?
No, he doesn't have anything in his mouth.
Could you ask him, please?
No, I will not ask him. I'm on the air right now. Get out of here, David.
Philip.
All right, Dr. Sadler, I was just talking to my vice president of syndication. We can continue now with the aerobic yoga.
I want to do that. I did hear, because we had a radio on, I don't know if your vice president's syndication is an idiot.
That's true. You know, I didn't even think of that. I apologize, Dr. Sadler.
Yeah, well, I heard him say, is he sucking on anything? And the answer, Mr. Hall, or whatever your name is, no, I'm not. And now, my question is, are you, Mr. Hall, are you sucking on anything that may belong to a sponsor? Now then.
Thank you very much, sir, because that probably got me in all kinds of trouble.
I'm sorry, but I'm not going to take that kind of abuse. All right, my wife's name is Amber. I thank God it isn't Daphne, because if I had a wife that needed to have Krispy Kreme literally vacuum-piped into the house every day, I would kill her, and I would sandbag the front door of the house. That is my take on that. All right. Are you ready, Phil?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's disregard whatever that was that you just said.
Well, you know, I think it's important.
Let's disregard whatever you just said. I'm ready.
All right, fine. One, two, hold on. Would you please put all of that down? Where'd you get that? Where'd you get the bear claw? Where?
Come on, Dr. Sadler, you ready or not?
I'm sorry. All right, one, two. Oh, excuse me. One. Hold on, said that. Yeah. All right, one, two, one, two, three, and...
Yes?
One.
Oh, come on, will you?
What?
Are you doing some kind of aerobic yoga, or are you just making noises?
Whatever your problem is, Phil, I sure hope you get it worked out.
No, whatever your problem... What?
David.
What do you want, David?
Don't hang up on me. No, I just heard that guy. It sounds like he's... It sounds to me like he's got a boyfriend there, if you know what I'm talking about. I just heard this guy with a whole, whoa. What's going on there?
All right, you know what? I'm going to have you talk to this guy.
Hello?
I want you to talk to David Hall.
David Hall.
What do you want?
What do I want? I want to know what you're doing there, because I am the vice president of syndication.
Yeah, so I heard.
Okay, so you heard? It sounds to me like you've got yourself a little party going there, and it involves some sort of baby oil. I don't know.
But I don't have a party going here. I got a wife that's watching me doing aerobic yoga.
You got a wife watching you do aerobic yoga. What's that code for?
Oh, baby. It's not code for anything, sir. It's simply an exercise that we're doing, and I'm sorry if it sounds unusual to you.
It sounds unusual to everybody, Dr. Sadler, all right? Because every time you say one, it sounds like you're going through the tortures of the damned.
That's it exactly. That's it exactly. You're bending over. I mean, I was listening on the radio. You're trying to touch your rear end with your... Oh, here we go. Here's the first laugh of the night on this. This is a very, very significant yoga move that I have invented myself, and that has helped millions of people survive neck injury and spinal paralysis. What do you think about that?
You know something, sir? I think I'd rather be paralyzed than be sticking my own nose in my own rectum. I'm David Hall.
How do you like the balls on this guy?
David, are you there? David.
He hung up. He hung up and he locked it out with the... God, man, I don't believe that.
What about this guy? He completely dismisses an entire discipline of the physical...
Take it easy. Take it easy.
I mean,
take it easy.
He completely dismisses an entire...
Take it easy.
I'll say it for you, Dr. Sadler, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
He's dismissing, Phil, a physical discipline that has helped people with spinal injury and neck injury by saying I'd rather be paralyzed than stick my own nose in my own rectum because he's a child and he's always been a child.
Well, now, finally, some people around here are seeing things my way.
What are you talking about?
I've been saying that for years. And every time I say it, I got you guys kissing his ass.
Man, I don't kiss his ass, Mr. Sadler. I just say a lot of times he was right.
Yeah, Phil, you have to give him his due.
You give him his due. I've known all about David ever since I met this guy. He's got a child's mentality when it comes to the programming on his show. Yeah, we got a guy on who may have a series of exercises that helps people with their paralysis and so on and so forth. But the fact is, this guy, is that you, Dr. Sadler?
I'm just listening.
Will you put him on hold?
I know.
The fact is, that guy he's got a mentality, yeah, of a little kid with the whole, I'd rather stick my nose up a...
Well, I think that what Dr. Sadler has done is absolutely breathtakingly astounding. I think it has saved millions. Yes, regrettably, it involves an exercise where you've got to get your face... I don't know how else to say it. Robert, how would you say it?
Well, you got to get your face right up in it.
Yeah, you have to get your face right up in it. Now, I said on one of the programs, as you know, Phil, I said to my everlasting regret that your face needs to be...
It's got to be ready for what you give it.
It has to be ready for anything you give it or anyone gives it.
Uh-huh.
What's your problem?
You know, you people around here have a way of putting things that just really disgust me, that's all.
Well, excuse me, I didn't know I was in the presence of greatness. Everyone, let's just...
Yay!
Yes, very nice, Phil.
No, I mean, seriously, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. All I know is the guy's got an exercise that happens to, you know, place the nose in direct proximity to your own ass, so...
So you see how he laughs? You're laughing, but if I said that, you'd have me hanging by the thumbs out in some public square populated by 1% Mongols. Drop dead.
All right, we're going to take a break here on the... Suddenly we're all into this world of 1%, excuse me, if you are a member of that world, we don't need anything. All right, it's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back with more. Get Dr. Sadler back on so we can at least conclude this ridiculous, asinine-sounding exercise. I don't give a damn, you know... I won't go as far as David, but this guy had better tell me something about this because it's giving me the creeps. Hey, 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 hey. All right, welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. Next hour, Margaret Gray and Doug Dangle will be talking about Disney delaying the Pirates of the Caribbean sequel. What's that about? Johnny Depp is their big superstar, but they're delaying the release of that until Ant-Man come out. I know I'm talking like I have a problem with my spinal column, but we are talking to Dr. Jim Sadler about that.
Yeah, thank you very much for the big build-up, like you're spastic.
Oh, take it easy, will you? So we're going to be talking with Margaret about that, and Doug Dangle will be on. Disney delaying the Pirate sequel, huh?
Well, it shows, I think, a great deal of disrespect for a man that has helped the Disney franchise to a new level of respectability, you know, among adult viewers.
You mean Pirates of the Caribbean?
Yeah, I mean Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I don't think it's very well. Okay, never mind. You're the expert. So we'll talk about that next hour and other entertainment news here on the world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Finishing up here with Dr. Jim Sadler from San Diego. And again, my apologies, Dr. Sadler. We've had an ongoing argument between you and David G. Hall. Let me just say to people, Dr. Sadler, you have a bit of a speech impediment, correct?
Well, yeah, I have often said, and I also said it before I went on the air with you tonight, let's not hit that one too far downfield. You know, Phil, you're always wanting to hit that out of the park, and I want to downplay it.
I know you want to downplay it, but it comes up from time to time. It came up tonight.
It came up tonight because David Hall is a sadistic fat tub of guts.
Well, all right, but he said he was having complaints.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you really think the guy was going to have a complaint?
I think that, Margaret?
Well, Dr. Sadler, the way you're sounding tonight, you sound particularly... There seems to be a little bit of a problem controlling your speech tonight.
Well, it could very well be because I got a wife, Tiffany, that's sitting there. I don't remember the name of Amber, the abandoned, you know?
See, I don't understand anything you're saying. Is that nerves?
It is a little bit of his nerves, yeah. But Amber sitting there, when he brought up a... When he brought up a Krispy Kreme, he brought up a Krispy Kreme.
Take it easy.
I know, but...
Doctor, just slow down, Dr. Sadler, because this is very important for people to listen to. Dr. Sadler is one of the very great physical medicine men. And yet he does have a speech impediment. Can you tell people why?
Yeah, because I at one time before I got into medicine, I was a bondman payment.
I'm sorry, you were what?
I was a bondman payment.
You were a...
You're a lemon tamer.
No, a lion tamer, you ass on a stick.
Well, who is that?
That's Bud Dickman.
You're something, Dickman. You're a Bud. Forget it.
Bud out, okay?
It sounded like lemon tamer.
It ain't lemon tamer. The guy was a lion tamer.
I was a lion tamer. And part of the act was a part of the French dip of cabbage.
You were French kissing a cabbage?
No, oh, what an ass.
You don't have to call me an ass.
You were French kissing a lion. I know the story.
No, both of them lion. I tried to French kiss a leopard.
I'm sorry, a leopard. He tried to French kiss a leopard. It was part of his act as a lion tamer.
Well, the whole reason is a lion tamer. What's he trying to French kiss a leopard for?
Still a big cat.
Okay, what he said, what difference does it make? It's still a big cat.
I understand what he said.
Yeah, I understand what he said, too. It sounded like the dumbest thing a man would possibly do. Try to French kiss a leopard. What for?
Because I thought it would distinguish me from the back.
You thought it would distinguish you?
With the back.
With your act.
Right.
My God, we already have people on the show nobody understands.
That is a point, Phil. You've got on Debbie Dooley and that stumbling, muttering... And now this guy.
Oh, well, you know, it's easy for you to say, Miss Gay. Did you do it?
No, you're absolutely right. I didn't try to French kiss a leopard. You're right. I'm such a bad person.
Look, Doc, I understand you took a shot during your lion-taming career. It went south. Now you're a doctor... And we just have to live with it. I apologize to the extent that my crew has been making fun or otherwise alluding to things that they shouldn't be alluding to. I apologize for that. The only thing that I can tell you is that when you were attempting your aerobic yoga, it sounded like you were in pain.
All right, but what you're doing, Phil, is you're telling your crew that they're wrong, but you're giving yourself your bed to the belly of Dave, Frank.
What did he say?
You're saying that I'm telling my crew they're wrong, but I'm giving myself a pass.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't try to make fun of you. I mean, I'm telling you right now, what you were doing with that aerobic yoga sounded really painful.
Why are you out of breath?
Because it's hotter than hell in here, man. It's hotter than hell in here. Is that guy back again?
David Hall. The guy, he said, David, Phil didn't want to talk to you at all.
I don't give a damn what he wants. Let me talk to that guy, Sadler.
He's there.
What do you want?
What do I want? I'll tell you what I want, Sadler. You just explained to Henry that you lost your tongue in a leopard training accident. Were you trying to,
No, I said I lost my tongue in a lion... Don't you listen to nothing. I said I lost my tongue in a lion taming accident. I tried to French kiss a leopard.
You tried to French kiss a leopard? Good God!
No, a leopard, you ass!
The leopard cat.
All right, well, so why didn't you say that at the beginning... So that people out here who are calling me away by the dozens every minute trying to figure out who this guy is on the air. They think you're some life form.
What?
Nothing. I got emotional. I just got emotional, I'm telling you.
Well, you got a muscle problem.
Because I got people calling and asking me if you're some hydrogen-based life form from an...
All right, David, you got your little chuckle in.
Oh, come on, will you? Oh, so that's it, huh? The guy calling up to try to make a fun of me.
I can only tell you that, Dr. Sadler, in the future, before we have you on the air, I'm going to vet these different demonstrations so that I know they don't cause some kind of wild stink, okay?
Well, Phil, I don't really like being censored.
Well, that's too bad, because that's going to happen. And we're going to do it with all the guests from now on. You understand that, Margaret?
Well, yes, Phil, I understand, but I...
No. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Bud?
Yes, sir.
Robert?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Sadler?
It's your show, Phil.
Good. Because from now on, I'm not having anybody on that's going to do something that is going to sidetrack us so much, because what you were doing might have been beneficial, but like I said, it sounded really weird.
Well, if you can tell me where it sounded weird...
Every time you went 1, 2, 3, it sounded like you were taking a hot poker up the you-know-what.
I don't understand that. It's a very strenuous exercise. Here, let me demonstrate it one more time. Hey, Amber, you want to put the box of donuts down for once in your life? Just for once in your life. You and that other broad you're hanging on. All right, here we go, Phil. You ready?
Boy.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, but I...
All right, this is the aerobic yoga. I'm going to stick my nose and get it way up, right up in the, you know. Here we go. And a one. That's it, it's one. And two. And three. And help me. Was that okay?
What was going on?
I got my nose stuck up there. Sometimes you get your, right, is that a...
All right, so thanks a lot, Dr. Sadler.
Got his nose stuck in his butt? Are you out of your mind or something? You're never going to sell that one.
Well, we just did sell it. Unreal.
What are you looking at me for? I didn't...
Dr. Jim Sadler, we will, if he comes out with some kind of a booklet, or he comes out with any kind of further instruction, I think he's kidding, to be honest with you.
Well, now you got the idea, man. That whole thing got a nose stuck up there.
Let me tell you how I know this guy's for real. We had him on the show not too long ago, and he was demonstrating it in studio. I don't know if you guys remember, but I finally got the lay of the land on this guy, and I was doing this aerobic exercise with him, and he's going, yeah, that's right, Phil. Stick your face right up in there. You remember that?
Oh, my God, and then he farted.
Yeah.
You know what?
I got my face right up next to his rear end, because that's what he said this yoga exercise was, and then he did what he did.
The guy was kidding around.
The guy's a joker, yeah. He's a joker. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. Woo!
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Phil, let me try one more time. One, two. My nose is stuck. Okay, it's out.
Apologies, folks. Welcome back. Still working the timing out
a little bit.
World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico. 1 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard and all of that in between. You can work that out. And, of course, we're online at philhenryshow.com with live streaming video of our show each and every night. If you want to see how the show is performed, if you're not getting the show in your area for whatever reason. And there really is no reason not to have the Phil Henry Show in your marketplace, considering the horrific state of talk radio, spoken word, if you will. And we realize also that even though you've got 7 sports stations in your market, maybe you can do without one of them. What do you think? So we heartily recommend that the Phil Henry Show be put on the air in your market very, very soon. As a matter of fact, our show goes really well with sports stations. Just ask Don Martin at Fox Sports Radio if you don't believe me. Just ask our good friend Jay Moore at Fox Sports Radio if you don't believe me. Just ask our good friend, I guess those are the only friends we have.
Yeah, pretty much.
Anyway, No, we have plenty of friends. Anyway, you know, join us. Go hand in hand with us as we prance into the sunset. That sounds sort of...
Sounds a little bit effeminate, yeah.
Well, I mean, just, you know. So join us in our effort to make sure that Phil Henry, or some derivation of him, is on in your market. To that end, by the way, Bobby Dooley was on the Jay Moore Sports this morning and did very, very well from what I understand. What'd she talk about, Margaret?
Bobby was on. I don't know if she did very, very well. She was on this morning talking about the Washington Redskin name. And is it racist? And she took the position that no, it wasn't. And of course, I think we all know Bobby by now that she's going to take these kinds of positions that are ridiculous. I think she does it on purpose.
See, I don't. I think she really is that dumb.
You really do?
Yeah, I really do. I think she thinks that the Redskin name is perfectly fine. Let me tell you something about the Washington Redskin name. Because I remember when this discussion was being had 20 years ago in Atlanta. This isn't new. This discussion is not new. This has been going on for decades. And there was a time, and I remember, because I stood there in the coffee room at WSB Radio in Atlanta, and I was talking to some guy, I forget who, and I was making coffee, and I said to the guy, you know, the name Braves, I can understand how Native Americans would be upset with that whole tomahawk chop, because that was happening back then.
What was that?
The tomahawk chop was this kind of up and down motion, like a karate chop or a tomahawk chop that the fans would do in Atlanta to signify their support for the team.
Did he call that a karate chop?
The tomahawk chop is what they called it. And there was a controversy then that it was a decidedly rather racist because the Brave fans also had this chant, which also I think the Kansas City Chief fans have, and it kind of goes, oh, it sounds like an Indian chant. What are you looking at?
What did you just do?
Yeah, it sounded like, you all right?
Yes, I'm okay. Would you guys quit making a big thing out of nothing just for the point of doing it? You remember what they were doing, Margaret.
Well, yeah, but you went, oh, it's...
You know what I'm talking about. So, make a long story short, I'm standing talking to this guy, and he is...
Well, you know, of all the things to worry about...
I was talking to a typical bonehead white man. I was talking to a typical bonehead white man, and he didn't get it. The difference between then and now is... When Bobby Dooley went on this morning with Jay, 90% of the people that called, including Jay himself, were opposed to the Redskin name and felt it was racist. 20 years ago, when I had this conversation with this guy, the party line was, there's more important things to worry about in this world. So, you know, that's how it goes. I understand. People become enlightened.
Yes, but what you're saying, Phil, and you're not saying it, but you're saying it, okay, is that you were enlightened 20 years ago.
Yeah, Mr. Ann, you're saying you're all better than everybody.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, so do I, man.
You were saying 20 years ago you knew this and nobody else did, and now everyone's catching up to Phil Henry.
Okay, that's the way you want to put it.
Oh, my God, the arrogance.
Well, if that's the way you want to put it, yeah, that's exactly how it was. It's exactly how it was.
So you'd say, Mr. Henry, that you're all...
Will you look at me, bud, and quit looking at the floor? What are you doing?
I've just found this.
Accidents, call 805. What is this?
It's one of those magnets for the refrigerator.
Get out of here with that, bud, will you?
You're saying that you're all better than everybody?
Did I say that? No, I did not say that. I'm simply recounting to you a conversation I had with a guy 20 years ago about this very thing. And that is the whole Indian name, the mascot name. Is it racist? I got to be honest with you. I said then, I say it now. And one of the Native American people I talked to then...
What do you mean, one of the Native American people? Would you do just go down to the Indian reservation and find one?
No, it was someone that called my show. Go down to the Indian reservation.
You talk about one getting cigarettes?
The what?
Didn't you get your cigarettes on an Indian reservation, yes or no?
Yes, I did.
See? See?
See what?
Phil, you're down exploiting the Native American.
Wait, hold the phone. Hold the phone. Exploit the Native American? I was down buying cigarettes off the Indian reservation because they were not subject to federal tax. The Native Americans are making out like gangbusters selling cigarettes. Everybody I knew went down there to get their cigarettes, man, because there was no federal... It was cheaper for me. Plus, the Native Americans were raking it in. What are you talking about?
And you went down and took advantage of them at the casinos, too, didn't you?
How am I taking advantage of them?
Miss Gray, you don't understand. I'm taking advantage of it.
No, no, no. This is something I'm very well versed in. When you go down and use a Native American casino, you are using, all right?
Yeah.
Well,
see, Margaret, there you go.
No, no, not there I go.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, I know what I'm talking about, but you three asses, forget it.
Toilet paper?
You want a bathroom?
Yes.
All right. See, we know the drill around here now, folks. Margaret, when she's wrong, she gets up, she goes to the bathroom, we got to make sure there's toilet paper, then she yells, she's about due to yell.
What are you talking about?
About you.
Just like clockwork.
Right. All right. When Margaret gets back, we're going to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean. What the hell did I just say?
You talk about Pirates of the Caribbean, man.
Yeah, I hear that. That flick's on fire.
Anyway, Pirates of the Caribbean. But to wrap up what I was saying, Bobby was on with Jay Moore this morning. So check out Bobby Dooley. She's on every Tuesday morning on Jay Moore Sports. You can also check out Bobby on Twitter, and you can check out Bobby on Facebook, and who knows what else you're going to be checking out Bobby on as we progress down through low these many months ahead of us, trying to make Bobby Dooley a superstar. World-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Margaret?
Yeah.
All right. Walt Disney Company said on Tuesday that it would delay the release of the film Pirates of the Caribbean 5. Delay the release of the film Pirates of the Caribbean 5, the latest in the blockbuster series starring Johnny Depp. The movie has been scheduled to open in theaters July the 10th, 2015. Disney gave no reason for the film's delay. A person familiar with the project said studio executives did not think the script and other aspects of the film were ready for it, to start production. No date was given for the film's release. Well, it said it was scheduled to open in theaters on July the 10th of 2015, 2 years from now.
Right. Well, they haven't begun production on it.
All right. We're going to have Margaret Gray and Doug Danger on to talk about this because it may have some fairly interesting connections to, and perhaps some interesting, interesting commentary on the commercial viability of Johnny Depp these days. Let's just put it that way. The world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, .com.
How are you spelling com? C-U-M?
Boy, you are something.
That's dirty!
Well, he said that.
You are something. Our number is 855-500-7445, Phil Henry Show. C-U-M. Welcome back. Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. We got Doug Danger and we got Margaret Gray, and we're going to get into the whole business of Johnny Depp and who would have thought that Johnny Depp wouldn't be a commercially viable product. Doug Danger online with us from Santa Ana tonight. And, of course, Margaret Gray in studio. Doug, how are you?
Hey, Phil. I'm doing really good. It sounds like an exciting night there.
Well, we've had our fireworks here this evening. Margaret's also with us here. I think you guys will probably get into it, mix it up a little bit here on Johnny Depp.
Well, I don't know how Margaret feels about this. I think Johnny Depp. Has seen his last, and I say for one, good riddance. I've about had it with his characterizations, which have passed for acting. It's not acting what Johnny Depp is doing. He's mugging for the camera, and I think that Johnny Depp has made a career, Phil, out of playing what he thinks are bizarre characters. But in point of fact, I think Johnny Depp is playing basically the same guy in every film. Margaret?
Well, Doug, I don't know where to begin with that. First of all, I don't know if you're watching the same Johnny Depp films that I'm watching. I think that Johnny Depp brings a great deal to each and every character he plays. I think he brings a great deal of nuance. First of all, let's talk about the Johnny Depp that brings a dramatic feel to the characters that he plays in Donnie Brasco. Let's talk about the comedic feel that Johnny Depp brings to, for instance, Dark Shadows, and yes, to Pirates of the Caribbean. I think Johnny Depp is still an extremely talented and very, very vital and important actor.
Well, apparently Disney doesn't agree with you because they're pushing back production on Pirates of the Caribbean. My sources at the Disney studio tell me, and I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right?
See, I knew that we wouldn't be able to...
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and by that I mean, you know...
No, I know what you mean, Doug. You have the ability to look at things more clearly than other people. I don't think you can wear this one.
What do you mean I can't wear this one?
I don't think your gay man and gay journalist take is going to work on the Johnny Depp analysis, because I think there's a lot more at work there. I think the facile aspect of you saying you see things more clearly.
Well, let me see if this works. Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean has, in his own way, set back the rights of gay people by decades.
See, I knew he was going to say that.
No, hold on for a minute. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
No, wait a minute. I got to ask this question, Doug.
What?
Are you trying to tell me that somehow this Pirates of the Caribbean, this role that he plays, is a some sort of a gay take?
Well, my informed sources tell me that what Johnny Depp is going for here is some kind of necrophiliac pirate. Because, see, understand, this is a pirate that doesn't want to appear to be gay. So what he is really doing is he's repressing that and going for a necrophilia, some kind of a dead, getting sexual joy out of the dead. I don't know.
There's the key for it. You don't know. And I think that's a real stretch to say that Johnny Depp is somehow impugning gay people by this performance. I think, Doug, I think your race is run. I think your day has come. I think Johnny Depp is a viable and vital and very, very vociferously, very victorious, vying visibly.
Okay, you're almost going to get there.
Vying visibly via...
Wait, what's going on?
Hold on, Phil.
Via victory...
Nah, you blew it.
What's going on?
I didn't blow anything.
Yeah, you did. You come to a dead stop on that.
What are you guys talking about?
Well, I had a bet with her that she couldn't string V's together at the very end of the segment. And I won, okay? So that's $100.
No, you didn't win, Doug. Just because you say you won doesn't mean you win.
Well, I'm saying I won right now because you just stopped. You said fire via victory. You had it all together.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. You guys are here to talk about Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes, we know that, but we had a side bet.
We had a side bet.
You had a side bet on what?
I just got done telling you to see if she could string a bunch of words together that start with V.
And I told him that I could keep on doing it until the end of the segment. When's the segment end?
In another 6 minutes.
Oh, you're a crawling piece of garbage. You know that?
Ha, 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 ha.
What a...
Don't get homophobic on me.
I'm not getting home. That's dirty pool. That really is.
Well, I didn't, you know, you're the one that started with the V's, and you could have done it a lot closer to the end of the hour, so.
Okay, I got news for you guys. If you have side bets, that's great. Don't mess up the segment for your side bet.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about her stringing V's together.
As long as it doesn't affect what we're reporting on.
Margaret, when you started stringing those V's together, I didn't know what the hell you were doing. Bud didn't. Robert didn't.
Yeah, they look kind of weird to me.
The audience is probably wondering, what is she? V. Nobody knows what you're talking about. You and Doug are the only ones.
We had a bet. Not a $100 bet.
Look, Phil, $100 is $100.
Well, isn't that something? $100 is $100. Yeah, hell, I can't pass that up. Now, can we? Except for the fact that you're on my radio show, doing a segment on my show, and I got to understand... Oh, God.
Take it easy, Mr. Andy. You got to pass out.
Yeah, Phil, come on. Calm down.
Phil, you're getting all worked up.
Margaret, I don't know how many times I got to remind you people to be professional, okay?
Look, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay jerk.
Will you knock it off with that?
Well, when you say you people...
I'm not talking about gay people. If you want to do a segment on the show about Johnny Depp, you're more than welcome to do that. If you want to even have a side bet on how many words that begin with V she can string together, you can do that too. Let me know beforehand.
All right.
Fine.
All right, getting back to our... Getting back to our segment on Johnny Depp. Doug, you think Johnny Depp's race is run. Margaret, you still think he's got a lot to give. Now, the question is, and Doug sort of answered this, I'd like Margaret to address this. Why is Disney delaying the start of production on Pirates 5?
I think Disney is delaying the start of production on Pirates of the Caribbean 5 because, obviously, they don't have confidence as they sit in the script, and they don't have confidence, I think, in the overall production. I don't think it has anything whatsoever to do with Johnny Depp's viability or his strength as an actor or as an individual who can carry the vehicle.
Well, now, Johnny Depp has starred in a lot of Pirates of the Caribbean movies, and Johnny Depp has carried a lot of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. Is this franchise, Doug, over?
I think it's absolutely over. The Pirates of the Caribbean franchise is over. I think the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie, 4, stunk it out. I don't know what kind of box office it did. I don't care if it broke all box office records. I still say it stunk it out, because when it comes to a big booming blockbuster bombshell bonanza, boffo box office, bye boy, bodily, buff.
You blew it. Okay, I got the $100 back then. What are you doing now?
Take it easy, Phil.
Phil, take it easy.
What are you doing now?
Yeah, words that start with B.
Will you let me know that you're going to do this?
I thought you were aware of it.
No, it sounds like in the middle of this segment, somebody's having a stroke.
Phil, I told you about the V. This is with B.
Great, it's with B. I had no idea.
Well, what do you mean?
I mean that when Doug began to answer your question or my question, all of a sudden, he sounded like he was having a stroke.
Phil, I'm a young man. I'm only 35 years of age. Today, I'm going to have a stroke. I'm a gay man, gay journalist. Okay?
What's that got to do with having a stroke?
I'll tell you what it's got to do with having a stroke if I got to be on your show much more. That's what. Going to give me a stroke.
Phil.
I'm done.
You know something?
Oh, now don't start.
No. You know, I think this is the only show in history where I have a legitimate point. I make a legitimate point. I try to be as clear as I can with that legitimate point, and I get people hanging up on me, and I get people getting all pissed off and getting their feelings hurt, like Doug right there. He starts sounding like he's having some kind of an epileptic fit in the middle of that bit.
What are you talking about when he's going B-B-B-B?
Yeah, I'm talking about when he was going B-B-B-B. Bye, boffo, box office, boo-boo.
Well, what? Did I sound like that?
Yes, you did, Margaret.
Yeah, I thought I did.
You did. You sounded like you were having some neurological disorder with the V, victory, va, 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 and nobody knows what the hell you guys are talking about. Now he hangs up on me. I'm going to have to start treating people with a little disrespect. I'm going to just, that's it for Doug for the next month, okay?
He's going to be pissed off.
I don't care. That's it for Doug for the next month. He's not on this show for the next month. I can't take it anymore, man. I can't take it anymore. All right, to wrap up on Johnny Depp and Pirates of the Caribbean, Margaret, go ahead.
Well, I feel a little naked without Doug here. Shut up, bud. Let me just say this. I think Johnny Depp is a wonderful actor. I think Pirates of the Caribbean... I will agree with Doug on this, because he got me to thinking. I think Pirates of the Caribbean is over. I think that franchise is all in. I think it is... It's just all in. I don't think there's anything left. I think we're done. Thank you. Goodbye. Something else, Disney, if you don't mind. And I think Disney suspects that as well. That's why they're moving up the production of Ant-Man.
Oh, Ant-Man, huh?
Yes, Ant-Man.
And is that,
That ain't ants, is it?
No, it's not ants. It's Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. All right. Well, maybe Disney has had it with Pirates. We'll see. We'll see. If it makes money, baby, they just keep on keeping on. What is the movie franchise, to your memory, Margaret, that has the most sequels?
The most sequels?
Police Academy.
I'd say Police Academy.
Police Academy had how many sequels?
I'd be like 13.
13 or 14.
Police Academy had 14 sequels. I wonder which film it is. We'll have to look that up. We'll look that up when we come back, or we'll look that up while we are away, or we'll look that up when we come back and are away, or we'll just, maybe we won't look it up. The world famous Phil Henry Show is 855-500-7445, philhenryshow.com.
Talk much?
Yes, I talk much.
Beep, 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 beep.
All right, Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Welcome back here as we talk. We got into some kind of a goofy little topic here with Margaret Gray as we just hung up on Doug Danger, and I do apologize for that, Doug, but you're just pissing me off, you know.
Well, you're about to call a spade, man. Yeah, you call a spade.
Hey, man, hey, watch it.
Don't
I'm being racist, man.
Bud, what is it with you?
Well, how come he gets to say that?
He ain't saying spade as in black guy. It's a term that people use. You are a real ass. You know what? I think you need to get your ass kicked.
I already had my ass kicked.
I kicked him out. You remember when I kicked him almost unconscious? You remember that?
Yeah.
What was wrong with that?
Well, I don't want the kid killed.
He had me outside kicking me in the gut.
I kicked him until we had to throw a bucket of water on him.
Hey, bud, you're the guy that you walk right into these problems, okay? You got her kicking you almost to death. I feel like beating you up. You want to know why? Because you're stupid. You're just a dumbass redneck.
I got a black girlfriend. So, you got a black girlfriend doesn't give you the right to say anything you want to say.
She's got a point. You think because you got a black girlfriend, what does she think about the stuff you say?
I don't know.
I bet you if I called her up and I told her about half the stuff you say, man, she'd kick your ass.
Please don't.
Oh, look at this. Here's Billy Bibbit.
Oh, you're going to do your Billy Bibbit for us? Please, Nurse Ratched, don't do call my mother.
Please don't call Vivian.
Oh, yeah, okay, Billy.
Hey, Billy. Billy.
Shut up.
Billy, please don't call my mother.
Yeah, yeah. Know what Billy Bibbit's all like? Don't call my mother.
Shut up, you guys. Don't talk to Vivian.
Oh, look, he's all bawling about it now.
Maybe you should have thought of that before you say these things.
Talk much?
Well, you little...
Hey.
Talk much.
You know, bud, you're full of crap.
Yeah?
So? A minute ago you're bawling, now you're with the talk much. All right. So on the table here, I don't know if it's on the table or not, but we had a question. The most sequels. And here's my question was this. What film has the most sequels? We were talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, and then I asked Bud, and you said the Police Academy movies, and they had a lot. I remember the Police Academy movies, they never stopped with the sequels.
Well, Police Academy had something in the neighborhood, I don't know, 16 or 17, and it was a terrible movie. It was not a very funny movie. I didn't like it. I thought it was garbage from beginning to end. I thought from the very first one until the very last one, it was pure garbage. It was right straight out of a garbage pail. And I mean pre-digested food that had...
Okay, I get it, Margaret.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get it.
So I felt that it was pure...
Garbage?
Yes, garbage, smartass.
All right, that's fine. So the Police Academy movies, but guess what? That's not the record. That's not the record. So we're going to take some phone calls here. Our number is 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. On what is the record for the most sequels? Charlie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Mr. Henry, it's good to talk with you. I wanted to mention the franchise with the most. I think the most sequels would most likely be Dracula. If it's not Dracula, then the Godzilla franchise.
All right, let me ask the panel here. What do you think, Bud?
No, that's no way. No way.
Why not?
Well, because Dracula is a different Dracula every time. You know what I mean?
No, I don't know what your Dracula was. That Mr. Henry asked for the most sequels.
Yeah, but Dracula, it's got to be the same kind of a Dracula.
Yeah, but the Dracula sequel... First you got a Dracula from Transylvania, you got another Dracula that come from, L.A. or something.
I don't know of any Dracula franchise where he came from. Well, I answered your question, Mr. Henry. I think it's a Dracula. And, that's it.
You're wrong. It's not Dracula.
No, I'm not wrong. I'm right.
No, you're wrong, sir. It ain't Dracula.
Excuse me, but...
All right. Thank you very much, sir. Our number 855. So you guys are basing that... I agree with you guys. I don't think Dracula works because Dracula is, It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, because Dracula, for it to be a sequel, it's got to be from the same, it's got to be the same movie, and then there's a different plot.
Well, it has to be. A sequel has to be building on something from the previous film.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I agree with that. It has to be building on something from, all right, the previous movie. Let's go to Mavis in Southgate. Mavis, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil, this is Mavis. I'm with Robert there.
Yeah, Ollie.
I want to weigh in because I heard a topic about the sequel, and I said Godzilla. There's no question it's Godzilla. Don't even mess with me on this one.
I can't say it.
Well, you tell Dickman he can take it and stick it, because I'll tell you that right now.
I mean, I'm on Godzilla, because it ain't the same one.
Is Mr. Henry there?
I'm right here, dear.
What do you think of Godzilla? That's my answer.
All right, Godzilla, but we have to have our panel sort of weigh in on it.
Margaret, tell me, Margaret, what you think.
But dear, I don't think Godzilla, because again, it has to be a film that builds on the previous. Now, you had Godzilla destroy Tokyo.
Yeah, that's right, Godzilla. But that's the same Godzilla destroyed Tokyo. And he went after Mothra, and he went on Rodan, too. He went wild on Rodan.
Well, he went wild on Rodan, as you say, but was that before or after the Tokyo destruction?
I don't know, but I've seen Godzilla. And if you look at Godzilla, he had crushed down on Tokyo, and he crushed down on a Japanese army. But then he made up for it by kick-ass on Rodan. Excuse my language, still.
It's all right.
But he kicked Rodan's ass, he kicked Mothra's ass, he kicked King Kong ass. That's the first time that I had ever seen King Kong his ass kicked. I loved after him, too.
But, again, let me ask something, Mavis. Because what they're saying here...
Yeah, I thought when he kicked King Kong ass...
Yes, dear, but what we're saying here is a sequel is a film that contains elements of the previous movie. For instance, Star Wars, these were pure sequels. You started with Star Wars, you went to Empire Strikes Back, it had elements of the first movie.
I don't know anything about that mess. I never watched the Star Wars. I thought that was the stupidest movie I'd ever seen.
I understand that, but do you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I said that Star Wars was a mess. I think it was strictly for, you had to be retarded to look at it. I think you had to be retarded to be in it.
All right, hold on. Mavis, thank you very much.
I think you had to be
All right, so there's your aunt, Robert.
No, was she saying, Godzilla?
Yes, said Godzilla. And Godzilla, Mr. Henry already said Godzilla don't count.
All right, well, whatever. So Godzilla, I think that we've at least got a working... we have a working definition of a sequel, which is that it must contain elements of the preceding film. So it has to be sort of a plot line. Maybe not even a plot line, but the story has to be carried forward somehow. So we've had two suggestions, Godzilla and Dracula. Is that right?
Yes, I've got Godzilla and I've got Dracula.
All right. Manhattan Beach, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead. This is Chris. Go ahead, Chris. Chris?
Mr. Henry, hi. I wanted to mention Dusty Gonzaga if you...
Dusty what?
Gonzaga. It is an adult film sequel, but it's about, I think it's about a, I'm pretty sure it's about a character. She had very large, you know, boob and...
Yeah, Dusty Gonzaga, she was a boob. She was a private eye with a big one, big boob.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know anything about this garbage.
Well, I'm just trying to say it was a, she was...
All right, Dusty goes out. We're not going to count adult films, though.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't...
Yeah, adult films. I mean, if we count... Thank you very much. If we count adult films, we're going to be here all night, because those movies have more sequels than you can shake your...
stick at.
Take it easy, man. All right, 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. We're talking here about... sequels. Let's go to Jay. Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, Phil, we're doing really good, and I wanted to just mention, I didn't hear nobody say nothing about Land Before Time. They had, like, I think there were 12 sequels, Land Before Time. There's also, I think, the Friday 13th, if you want to talk about pure sequels. I think Friday 13th.
Now, there is a series of sequels. What do you guys think?
Well, I think Friday the 13th is good. I'm not so sure about Freddy versus Jason. What do you think of that?
Well, I think Freddy versus Jason works in that Freddy is now a part of Jason's world. Yeah, Friday the 13th wasn't that Nightmare on Elm Street?
No, Nightmare on Elm Street was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street. Is that what you said?
I said Friday the 13th, but I'm talking about Nightmare on Elm Street.
There is no Nightmare on Elm Street.
No, I know that. I'm talking about Nightmare on Elm Street. She said Elm Street.
She did not say Elm Street. She said Nightmare on Elm Street.
Nightmare on Elm Street was the exorcism.
Yes, that would be Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that where a little girl got exercised?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
What?
No, you don't know that, Missouri?
What are you talking about?
Elm Street was in Georgetown. That's where a little girl got exorcism.
Oh, bull crap.
No, Phil, she was exorcised in Georgetown, was she not?
Yeah, but I don't know if it was on M Street.
I'm pretty sure it was, Mr. M, if you look it up. Well, that would be called Nightmare on M Street. But But my feeling is Friday 13, because except for the Jason Krueger, or not Jason Krueger, but Jason Goodman or whatever his name was.
Jason, what the hell was Jason Voorhees?
What? Jason Voorhees?
Yeah, that's his name.
You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure about that. Don't give me arguments about this chicken crap, okay? I hate it when I say something and then somebody says, "What?"
Well, I'm just trying to figure it out, Mr. And you said Jason Krueger.
I didn't say Jason Krueger. I said Jason Voorhees.
Well, no, you didn't. You said Jason Goodman.
I've said Jason Goodman, but anyway,
That's really not much of a scary guy name, is it, Jason Goodman?
No, it's not. Let's take a break. I can go into the bathroom and throw up. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, and, of course, online at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and enjoy us, won't you? Coming up this weekend, a very, very exciting debut on the Phil Henry website. It's going to be Ted Bell, Steve Bozell, and they're going to be talking, not just talking, they will be doing the attempted play-by-play and attempted color commentary of a NFL, almost NFL, Game of the Week. So check that out on our website. Coming up next, we're going to interview Ted Bell and Steve Bozell and talk to them about the forthcoming first ever almost NFL Game of the Week play-by-play with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell live from the NFL game this weekend on Phil TV. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast. And with me now on this here Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell and Steve Bozell, because guess what? These cats are going to be doing live NFL or almost this weekend.
Ted,
yeah.
Of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, Phil, and this is Ted Bell along with my good friend Steve Bozell. We are going to be doing the NFL or almost NFL Game of the Week on the Phil Henry website coming up this weekend. And I can't hear anything. Turn that down. I'm trying to hear them.
You guys have an engineering problem?
Yeah. We have the engineering problem you got, which is I can't hear a bloody... All right. I apologize, Phil.
Come on, bud. You know, you really got to get it together. If we're going to be doing the NFL this weekend...
Well, yeah, we're not doing the NFL. We don't have...
Almost the NFL. Ted, to that point, the promo that we're running on our website and the promo we're running right here on the air, almost the NFL, what does that mean?
What it means is essentially this. We're going to be bringing to the broadcast the Ted Bell take on this. We're going to be bringing to the broadcast the Ted Bell play-by-play. I like to think that I've got a very rapid-fire ability to identify the action on the field, to go to the action, and to also lend if you will, Phil, I like to lend a little bit of a poetic nuance to the play-by-play. I'll do things like, for instance, I'll give you an example of my play-by-play. There's a long, deep pass. Good night, Irene. Touchdown. He's paying the bills. See?
Okay.
What was with that pause? I can't have that. I cannot have that. I need to have some crowd noise or pretend like you're a...
Well, what? I'm sorry. It sounds great, Ted.
No, I know that, but I need to have crowd noise. So, Eddie, come over here and do a crowd. Yay! No, you ass.
What are you... Okay, so Ted Bell... Steve Bozell, are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I'm looking forward to the games. Hold on, he's not done talking to me. All right, I apologize. So, is that it, Phil?
Yeah, I want to talk to Steve, if you don't mind.
But I want to do my play-by-play thing, too, okay?
All right, that's fine. Let me just... Steve... You will be doing the analysis, right?
Yes, sir, I will, and I am very excited about it because I've always, you know, I grew up in Tennessee, and football is pretty big there. I mean, basketball. No, I'd say football's pretty big. Basketball's big in Kentucky. But, you know, I'm kind of nervous. Well, let me do my play-by-play, okay?
Go ahead.
All right, hey, this is Ted Bell. He takes the snap. He passes the ball way down the field. Touchdown! Do it. Oh, your breath. I'm sorry.
Okay, Ted, if you need to approximate a crowd, maybe you can get some sound effects.
Oh, I got one of the guys from the kitchen. He said, I thought you said you could do a crowd. Yeah, but your breath, God almighty. Let me do it one more time, Phil.
Okay, look, people are going to have to listen to the game, huh?
Yeah, but I want them to know the things that I do. All right, there's the snap. He goes back. He sees the wide receiver. He's wide open. Touchdown, crowd. Don't do it so close to my nose. good one. Okay, we'll be back with more after these messages from Kids of Beverly Hills. And that's what I'm hoping, you know, because I bought the whole first half.
Right, you bought the first half, and you're the play-by-play guy.
Exactly. I hope you're not making a negative comment on that, because I think it is the beginning of a trend in broadcasting and in advertising, which is the advertiser not only has the commercials, but he also hosts the show. And I think that
that's the beginning of the end.
Wow. Boy, that takes some guts.
All right, hey, Steve, how did you prepare, and if you'll pardon me for saying this, because I don't mean anything by it, how did you bone up on,
God, man.
Mr. Henry, what do you mean by that?
Hold on for a minute. How did you bone up on learning about the games and how to be a commentator?
Well, okay, I'm glad you explained that.
Well, grow up. Bone up doesn't mean what you think, all right?
I know that, but Mr. Henry, I got to just settle down.
Is it that big of a deal? Because I said, how did you bone up?
Mr. Henry, I got all these guys are here. These are guys that I work with. They're all waiting around to see how, you know, bitching everything is.
You mean guys from your work are standing there?
Yeah, they're listening to the show right now. When you said, how did I bone up, they're all going, ha, ha.
I'm telling them all to grow up.
Shut up. Just go ahead, Steve.
The way I boned...
Okay, let's stop. Stop.
Mr. Henry...
Stop. 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 Steve, how did you prepare for the broadcast this weekend?
Thank you, Mr. Henry. First of all, I come out here to the pool. We have a pond out here, my wife and I, and it's where the crickets live. Not that cricket thing. Excuse me? I'm sorry, Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt. This is Ted, but are you sitting at the pond? Yes, sir, Mr. Bell, that's where I am. You know, you really got to learn how to man up. You know, you got to get prepared for life without having a pond to sit near, okay? Mr. Bell, you prepare for life your way. I'll prepare for... You know how I prepare for life? Two fingers of Johnny Walker Blue. Johnny Walker Blue! Two fingers, that's how I prepare for life. Well, you know something, sir? I just ain't got what you got. How about that? And I need to have my pond. And you need to have your little friends, the crickets. Is that it? Yes, sir, I do.
What are we doing here, gentlemen? I thought we're doing a promo for this... Okay, end of promo.
Wait a minute, Henry.
All right, so make sure that you listen to this weekend's Almost the NFL Play-by-Play with Ted Bell and Steve Bozell. What a load.
Well, Phil, you've got to get control over these promos.
No, you're absolutely right. I don't even know why I let these guys... because what it devolves into the fact that he's not man enough to prepare for the game by drinking Johnny Blue. He's sitting near a pond. How do these people get involved in this?
Because you let them do it, man. That's what Marco's trying to say. You always let them do it.
Yeah, if you took more control over everything, well, then they would never not do it.
You have to exercise, whatever he said, you have to exercise control, and you have to direct the show in the proper way.
Margaret, when you say those things, do you have to have your wrist going back and forth with the fingers? And?
Yes, because that's the woman that I am. I love to gesticulate.
What?
Gesticulate. Gesticulate. Ha. It means to move the hands expressively. Do you understand?
Waving your finger in my eye like that.
Well, you deserve it.
I like that word, gesticulate, but... Bud often thinks it means something dirty.
Yeah, it sounds dirty and everything, and I'm still convinced to this day. And no one will ever tell me that it isn't dirty.
Because you're an idiot.
Yes, because you're an idiot.
Okay, I may be an idiot, but still.
Don't you understand, man? Words have meanings. I can look it up in a dictionary.
Doesn't make any difference.
You still think it's dirty, huh?
Yeah, because of the way you look at me and stuff.
It's not dirty. Look it up, just like Robert said, and you will see that it has the definition that Margaret says it has.
Which is what?
It means to move your hands expressively. To gesticulate is to express with the hands. You see what I'm doing now with my fingers?
Yeah, you're bugging me. You're switching them around like you got a twitch disease.
I've got a twitch...
Ow! Get out of there, will you? All right, anyway, we're looking forward to the Almost NFL Game of the Week debuting this weekend at the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Check it out. As to which game it's going to be, I don't know. I guess they'll post the schedule as we get closer to the game. Woo! World-famous Phil Henry Show. We had C.J. Wheeler with us there at the Tech Direction. And we got Margaret, we got Bud, we got Robert. Thank you very much, all of our guests this evening. Bobby Dooley, all the rest of you cats. See you tomorrow night. on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Target. No, he
didn't.
Give me the phone. Yes, he did. He bought him at Target.
Phil Hendry Show is broadcast from the El Pacifico at Channel Islands Beach, California.